Turn your Bibles to Genesis, the second chapter, 18th verse. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much today for the word of God. I thank you for the privilege it is tonight to gather in this place. I thank you for the good crowd, the folk that's come to hear the word of God tonight. And Lord, we need your help. We need your power. And Father, I certainly, Lord, need you above all other things to help me tonight, to empower me, use me, and give me wisdom on this tremendous subject that you've asked me to speak on. So, Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and take these services, use them to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message tonight, simply entitled it, Marriage. From time to time, you know, last year I did this from time to time. I believe it's important that we just take from sermons once in a while, just talk about family, just talk about marriage, and it just kind of helps keep things together. And tonight, I'm just going to give you basically 6 points that why did God institute marriage? What was it for? Some things that just would help us, I believe, in looking forward to a greater union together. Looking forward to these young people when they do one of these days get married. I had one young man told me the other day, and he's an eighth grader. He said, "I'm looking forward to getting married." I said, "Now, you're not going to get married tomorrow, are you?" And he said, no. He said, "I'm going to wait." And I'm glad of that. He's not ready for marriage yet. But he said, "I'm looking forward to it." I think that's good. I think that's a good attitude to have. And so anyway, marriage is a wonderful thing. And I believe it is. I believe basically it is because God instituted it. God's the one that said it's right, it's proper, and it's the way it should be. So I just want to give you some simple things tonight. Simple, basic things that will help us maybe in our marriages and help those who aren't married to get prepared for it. And so first of all, Why did God institute marriage? First of all, I believe it was for companionship. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, you know, we'll qualify that throughout the scriptures, because Paul even said it's good that you would be as I. And Paul was unmarried. But the reason Paul was saying that, he could completely give his life over to the service of the Lord completely. He did not have to worry about taking time, and spending time preparing and to be a good husband and to make a living so that she could live and have children. All this, he was not looking down on marriage, not whatsoever. But what I'm saying is, companionship is very, very important. We ought to really get a hold of that thing that God intends when we get married. Each one is to be a companion to the other. Now, I mean, I can say these things, and I think you feel them too. But honestly, I really don't know, and my heart does, whether you think it does or not, goes out to these dear widow ladies. My heart goes out to them, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what it would be like to go home and not have Donna there to tell her things, to talk to her about things, to share things with her. Companionship is just so important. Now the Bible says, "Can two walk together except they agree?" So that's why it's so important that when you get married that you're in agreement. Now listen to me. We're not talking about you have to like the same food, like the same color, like even the same kind of automobile. You know, there's a lot of things that we have that are personal tastes that is not not that really important. We're all different. We're individuals. But what God is talking about, that as we walk together, we should be one in spirit. We should walk with one another in spirit. We ought to have the same beliefs about the Lord. You can't put a Buddha person and a Christian together, and they cannot walk together. That's why I caution. That's why I say to you, and I know this does not always happen, but I want to say to you, you young people, marry an independent, fundamental Baptist. Now, I'm serious about that. Why? Your beliefs are going to be the same. You get hooked up with a Pentecostal, and you're going to have trouble the rest of your life. I'm not picking on the Pentecostal. I'm just telling you, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have differences. You're going to have different beliefs. And a husband and wife needs to walk together. They need to agree. And that makes a sweet companionship with one another. That's what God intends for you and your wife or your husband to have, is sweet companionship. Walk together. Love each other. Care about each other. Be concerned about each other. Put the other one first before yourself. Because, you know, that's what marriage is giving yourself up for the other one. It's not about, oh, I got to have my way. I got to have this. I got to have that. Or I got to do this. Wait a minute. How about your partner? How about putting it all together and walk in a companionship together? It's a lonely life to walk alone. The pastorate is a lonely life. You may not understand this. Don't ask you to. But the pastorate is a lonely life. But let me tell you something. I've got someone I can go home to. And I can talk to. And I can have one of the greatest companions that a man could ever have. Because God put us together. I'm saying that because God put us together. You understand what I'm talking about? Companionship is so, so important. Okay? And so God puts you together for companionship. Walking together and in life. That's why I encourage husbands and wives, you know, boy, get on the same page. Get on the same page. I'm not saying you're going to like the same food. You're not going to say you're going to do all those things. But get on the same page concerning life and your beliefs in the Bible, your standards, your goals for life, your family and how you're going to raise them and what your desire is for that family. Get on the same page and walk together in companionships one with another. That's what God intended. Amen. That's what he intended in a marriage. We know the leadership is there. I don't hesitate to say that. We know that God put the man there as the leadership. But let me say to you, oh my, how sweet it is when they walk together in companions together, turning over, being submissive to him, yes, but him so loving his wife that he wants to see the very best for her. Not a matter, we're going to do it this way because that's the way I want to do it. It's a matter of saying, honey, you know, this is the best direction for our life to go. This is what is better for us, and I'm doing it for your benefit as we do it together. That's leadership. Amen. So we're talking about companionship. Companionship is so important. I guess I want to say affairs, maybe I can say that, start a lot of time because there's no companionship. I'm never okay in that. I'm just saying it starts a lot of times because there's never closeness. There's no companionship one with another. And so they go looking for someone else to be a companion. That's not right. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying We both have a responsibility to see to it that we fulfill the role that God has given us. I'm to be a good husband to my wife. She's to be a good wife to me. You understand what I'm saying? So, if you know, check it out. What kind of companion are you? Would you want to live with you? Would you want to come home to you? And would you want you to come home? Amen? So check it out. You know, we can be better companions. Don't you believe? For one another. You see, we can make it a joy. When we come home, we can make it a joy. The home can be a place of joy, and I believe it should be. I don't believe it should be a place of fighting, bickering. I don't believe that's the way God intended. He wants close companionship, one with another. Amen. Secondly, he also gave marriage for enjoyment. That goes along with companionship. But there's just something special about having your wife or having your husband together to share the joy of life. There's just something special about that. And I believe also because, and I'm going to go ahead and read to you here in 1 Corinthians. I need to turn over to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. The 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want you to listen as I read this. Some wonderful instructions here. Okay? Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Do you know marriage is a place where God gives us marriage for enjoyment, also to help us to avoid sin. You see, it's that which God gives us as enjoyment where we won't go out and sin, commit fornication. And that's why he said it's good for a man to have his own wife and every woman to have her own husband. That's a proper thing. Now listen to what he says. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The word benevolence means kindness and goodwill. Folks, you're not going to win this thing on marriage and closeness in marriage if you don't show some kindness and goodwill towards your mate. That is just something you and I need to do, whether you're a wife or whether you're a husband. You've got to learn to be kind to them. I mean kind to them, gracious to them. They're human beings. They will not be perfect people, but they may be doing their best to strive to be that, strive to be better, and we've got to show forth kindness to one another. Now in verse 4, and that goes on both sides. It's the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. And the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And then he says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. In other words, incontinency, he says, lack of self-control. And God says that a husband ought not to defraud his wife, and a wife ought not to defraud her husband. I think all of you that adults know what I'm talking about. Now, God, in the Word of God, said that. You understand? And that's God gave us each other for enjoyment and pleasure and companionship. And you know what I believe? I'm going to just be a little bit open here. I believe that every husband and every wife can work that out, which is right and proper in their lives, where there's satisfaction for each one. You understand? And that all ought to be kept on a proper order. Things ought to be done properly. God talked about the natural use. The man left the natural use of the wife. And what he was talking about there is a natural use of the wife. It's natural. It's proper. It's the way God ordained it. You understand? It's not foolishness. It's kindness to one another. Graciousness to one another. You hear what I'm saying? I know that gets a little bit out on the thing, but I think it's necessary I say it. Because the Word of God is definite about that. You understand? He's definite about that. And he goes on to say, but I speak this per permission and not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, another after that. And I say thereto, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. He's not talking about burning in hell. He's talking about burning with desire and lust. If you don't have a wife or if you don't have a husband, it's better to marry. Paul said it's good to be as I am. You can give your whole life, your whole time over to the service of the Lord. But if you cannot contain, he said it's better to marry than to burn with lust and desires. You hear what I'm saying? Now that's what God said in his word. Touchy subject, but that's what God said in his word. So I'm saying to you, God gave the husband and wife together for enjoyment. It's right, it's proper, it's in the proper place. The Bible talks about that the bed is undefiled. Marriage is honorable in all. He's talking about being worthy. It's what it means. Honorable means to be worthy. It's a worthy thing. And the bed undefiled. The bed, you understand, is the bedroom. Not the front room with the kids watching. It's a place. There's a place for it. You understand this, preacher? Okay. He says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay? The next one is, I believe that God gave a husband and a wife to each other for completeness. The man was not complete without a wife. It was not good. It was not good that he should be alone. He needed a wife to complete him. Now, if any man will be honest, he feels uncompleted without his wife. Let her go away for 2 or 3 weeks and try to do it without her, and she comes back and everything's a mess. But I'm not just talking about just the mess. I'm talking about inside. The man needs his wife to complete him and make him better than he's ever been before. I or you, either one, men, cannot be as good a man as we are without our wife. And I say especially with the right kind of wife that will help to build you and nurture you and help you and encourage you along the way and cheerlead you, because we men need cheerleaders, because we are full of ego. And we got to have somebody to cheerlead us. And God give that job to the wife. Don't cheerlead somebody else's wife. You stay away from other people's wives. They have their own husband. You do not need to cheerlead some other wife, or you do not need to cheerlead some other man. He has a wife to do that. Amen. So completeness. There's something about a wife and a husband relationship to me that is it's just awesome. No, it really is. It's something that I can't completely understand, but it's something that God put together. God just put them together. And that relationship, there's no one can explain it. You want to get a man mad at you, get after his wife. Even if he knows she's wrong, he's going to stand up. I've gotten myself in a lot of troubles down through the years where I've had to say something to a wife, had to say something because of the situation in the church, and man, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody likes it. Sometimes it's just necessary to do, and they just have to get over it because I'm the boss around here. But you know what? That's the way it should be. Husband ought to stand up for his wife. Amen. I worry about Donna sometimes. I mean, it scares me to death. If ever, honestly, I've tried to talk to her about this. But she's one of these, you know, if guy was going to shoot me, she'd want to stand in front of me. Instead of getting behind me, she'd want to get in front of me. And I've got to talk to her about that, because that would shame me if she would die protecting me. I don't want her to die protecting me. I want to die protecting her. Because that's the natural thing. We'll talk about that again in a minute, but I mean, I'm serious about that. Completeness. We're complete. And God said, no, you men, you need something. You're a mess, and I got to get something to help complete you. And that's what God did for us. He gave us wives to complete us. Genesis, the first chapter. Is anybody still there? Let's go to the first chapter. 28th verse of the first chapter. He says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The other purpose that God gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. The reason God gave a husband and wife together was to have children. Now, some of you is going to say, in my heart, honestly, and I hope they won't be embarrassed, my heart just so goes out to Brother Randy and Sister Laura, because these dear folks wanted more children. God has not chose to give them. I know Tim and Lori was the same way. I can't explain all of that, because I'm not God. And I know there's times that God just does not give them more children. I'm not trying to explain it. I'm just saying that's God. That's God's business. But all I do know is the purpose that God, one of the purposes that God put men and women together was to have children. To multiply and replenish the earth, and that means to fill it up. This old thing you hear from Planned Parenthood and these things you hear from these foolish things across this world and say we're about to run out of space and food and all these things is a bunch of baloney. The problem with these countries that do not have enough food to feed the kids they have is not food. The problem is not there. The problem is they got the wrong God. Now, if they'll get back to serving the right God, God will provide. They're dying by the thousands because they worship the wrong God. And what I'm saying to you is God has provided. What God orders, He provides for. And God will give unto you. I'm just saying this to you. I'm not trying to tell you how many children to have, but get off of this old thing that we just want one child. That's unscriptural. Have the children God wants you to have. I know you have to work all of that stuff out, but don't stop and say we can't afford it. What God orders, He provides. That foolishness of I can't afford it is a big bunch of baloney again. That's not true. You can't afford it if God ordered it. God will provide. My mom and dad had 9 children. They made it. And I know other families has had a lot more than that. I'm just simply saying to you, don't buy into this foolishness. God gave unto you husbands and wives to produce children. That's what He wants you to do. If He sees fit not to let you have children, I can't explain that. That's not my business whatsoever. I'm just simply saying to you, God's purpose was to multiply and replenish the earth. It's right and proper to have children. See, what's happening is the heathen are having the children and the Christians has quit having them. So we end up finding all these families that have children that are not even saved. So they raise them up that way, and the Christians don't have as many children, so they will raise them up in under the Lord, but they don't have as many children. Don't buy into that. You young people, don't you buy into that. No, don't do it. God gave you one another to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. I've heard the old saying, I sure wouldn't want to bring another child into this world. Oh, get off of that. God ordered it. God ordered it. What do you mean you don't want to bring? Raise him up, raise him or her up in admonition and nurture of the Lord, and they'll go to heaven and spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. That's a great thing. Another thing I believe that God gave husband and wife for, and this I talked about just a little bit ago, I believe God gave a husband to a wife so that He would protect her. It is my job to protect her to the very best of my ability. In fact, it's my job to protect her if I have to lay down my life to do it. I read that in a paper years ago. Poor 85-year-old general. He was a retired general, and he was in the, and they came in and ended up killing both of them. But he done everything he could to fight that attacker off. Here he was, an 85-year-old man. He was a soldier, an 85-year-old man. He couldn't do much. He's weak and hurt. But he done everything he could do to beat that guy away from her and protect her. And he finally killed him. But you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to give up my life for her. She should be that important to me. That's what Ephesians says. 5th chapter. Let's go over there. Verse 25, we'll just read. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. How did He give Himself for the church? Gave up His life. And if necessary, we should be willing to give up our life. She ought to be that important to us. So don't you dare get in front. I don't move too fast, but I want to be the one in front, and you get behind me. When that bullet comes, I want it to hit me, not you. Amen. And I'm supposed to protect her to the best of our ability. You understand what I'm saying? And that can happen. Some of you non-gun lovers probably won't like that, but I got guns at my house. And I even got bullets for them. And I bought her a gun, 410 shotgun, so she can't miss. Amen. Titus 2 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, and false, and not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The important instructions that God gives there is that I believe the wife is to be a protector of the home, in chastity, in morality, and protect the home and help protect the children, where they go and what they do during the day when daddy's off at work. And I believe that dear wife has that responsibility to see to that and watch over. No, not without the help of the daddy. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying that's all falls on her. But I'm saying he's gone off to work. She has responsibilities to watch over those children and make sure that nothing gets in there that should not be getting in there. Amen. Just believe that. And I believe, and I'm not going to take the time to go back to do it, but back in the book of Malachi and back in the book of Psalms, 112th Psalm, you'll find that God speaks about raising up a godly seed. I believe all of my heart that the parents' responsibility is to raise up godly seeds. No, not just get them raised and turn them loose. Raise godly seeds. Raise up godly seeds to send out as arrows out into this old world, straight arrows that shoot straight. Because children are like arrows, the book of Psalms talks about. And arrows have to be shaped. If they've got a little bit of a wobble in them, they won't go straight. So God leaves it up to the parents to shape those arrows, those children, before they turn them loose out of their home, to shape them good and get them prepared to go. And that's raising up godly seeds. Amen? Raise godly seeds. You and my responsibility to do that. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. The last point that I'm going to bring to you tonight is simply this. Marriage was put in place. God instituted marriage for the purpose of making it a type of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the church and his relationship with Jesus Christ. This is an important point. Get a hold of it. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Oh, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. If we get a hold of the truth of this, we'll understand the great importance God put a husband and wife together to show and be an example to the world the relationship that God has, that Jesus has with his church. A marriage should display that. The wonderful relationship that God has with us is something precious and sweet. He not only protects us and takes care of us and provides for us, but he loves us enough that he would offer up and did offer up his life for us. So I'm saying to you, look at your marriage and see if it typifies the church and Jesus Christ. Is that the kind of marriage we have? We ought to have that kind of marriage. We ought to be a love within us for one another, just like Jesus loved the church and the church is supposed to love Jesus. And let me say this. It is for sure that whatever the relationship is between a husband and wife, they are showing forth something. They are displaying something. They're saying this is the way that Jesus loves the church. Men, that's what the Bible says. This is the way Jesus loves the church. That's how I am loving my wife. Now you think about that. It's awesome. Think about what Jesus does for you every day of your life. What he done on Calvary's cross. What he does every day. How he treats you. The sweetness that he shows you. That's the relationship that is showing forth in marriage. Tough one, huh? But it's the way it's supposed to be. God put us together to show forth Jesus Christ and his relationship with his church. So the next time you two want to fight, you're saying that's what Jesus and the church would do. Amen? Now I know you're not perfect. I understand that, but listen to me. Get a hold of that truth, because that's what the Word of God said. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that true? It's a wonderful truth, but it's an awesome truth. One of the purposes, the last purpose I'm giving you, the reason he did that is show forth the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. Is it showing that forth? And should it? Can we do better? Companionship, enjoyment, completeness, fruitfulness, protection, and it typifies Christ and his church. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for who you are. You're the great, the true, the living God. Help us, O God, help us to be better husbands. Help us to be better wives. O God, please do that for us. Help us to understand the seriousness of this. And Father, that you might be able to use us to typify your relationship with the church and bring honor to yourself. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.